See what happens when you miss church? Before I get started tonight, I want to address Brother Ben and Sister Courtney. Brother, I know exactly how you feel. It wasn't too long ago I was in that same situation. And it is a journey. But if I can give you some advice, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Just follow the Lord. And remember that the people that you're ministering to are people just like you. They're sinners saved by the grace of God. And sinners will break your heart. There are going to be times when someone hurts you. They might say something hurtful.
Yeah.
They might do something that hurts you. But they're just sinners. And we must remember that. And we must do what Christ did. And that is love them. As hard as it may be. And trust me, you will find that to be true. I hope not, but I know people. And people will hurt people. Turn tonight to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I came knowing that I was preaching at two different churches this weekend, and I brought three messages with me. And I struggled with which message to bring. There's a message I have that I really wanted to preach here tonight, but I never had felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to preach. And I was leaning towards preaching it anyway. And then Brother Joe called me last night after I thought I didn't got out of preaching tonight. And told me that he needed to be preached to. And so I've been waffling back and forth, and the Lord has really laid it on my heart to preach the message that I have for you tonight. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Very familiar passage. But I pray that I'll give you something tonight that will help you. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. We find here Jesus speaking. Almost in every one of these verses, with the exception of verse 5, Jesus is the one doing the speaking. And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, this evening we humbly bow before you, Lord, thanking you for another man being called to pastor one of your churches. And Father, I pray that you will be with Brother Ben and Sister Courtney. Father, that you would bless their work there in the church at Lugana. Father, I just pray, Father, that you would help them and be with them, strengthen them. Father, I especially thank you for the church here, Faith Baptist Church, and what a privilege and honor it is to be back with your saints here tonight. And Father, I thank you for Brother Joe, their pastor, and the work that he has done here. And for you. And Father, we know that it's not him, but it's you. And Father, we do praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us and what you continue to do and will do in the future. And Father, I pray tonight that you will use me, Father, despite my shortcomings, despite my failures, Lord, to be a blessing to your people. Father, I pray that this message that you've laid on my heart for them will be a message that will help them this evening. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just be pleased to meet with us, to speak to our hearts, to open our ears, and to give us the understanding that we need as we look at your word this evening. Father, I especially pray for the ones who may be lost this evening. Father, I pray that you would save them if that is your will. And Father, that you would grant them repentance and faith to turn from their wicked ways and to trust in you and you alone for their salvation. Father, I pray for your saints who may be troubled this evening. And I ask, Lord, that you would help them with the message that you've given me. Now, Father, I just pray your blessings upon this time and upon this message, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is speaking the words that we find here in this passage to his disciples. He says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." What are the disciples doing being troubled? What has them so troubled that Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled"? We just have to go back to the next chapter and look at the end of that chapter, towards the end of that chapter, and you'll find there that he's just told his disciples that he is going away. And where he's going, they cannot come. Not only has he told them that, but he's also told them that one of them is going to betray him. One of these men who have followed Jesus and walked so closely with him is going to betray him. Then one of the leaders of the group, Peter, is told that he's going to deny him three times. So you see, this is what has them troubled. They can't believe what their Lord has just told them. They can't fathom him going away and them being left behind. The truth is, each and every one of us here tonight have had things in our lives that have troubled us. There have been times when we faced rejection. There's been times when we felt defeated. There's been times when we failed at some point or another in our lives. And those things can cause us enough negative emotions that they could destroy us if possible. In fact, one of the leading causes for health issues is worry, anxiety. We worry ourselves sick over things that trouble us. But I want to suggest to you that some of the most painful wounds aren't those scars that are outwardly seen, but they're those scars that are hidden deep in our hearts. You see, since they're hidden, they're often the most dangerous. Setbacks, struggles, and trials can take the joy out of our life. They can cause our faith to be weakened. And if they're bad enough, they can cause us to want to stop living for the Lord. They can have us wondering, is it really worth it? Well, it's important that you don't let your wounds, whether they're the ones that can be seen or the ones that are hidden, hinder your service to the Lord. With that being said, even success has its share of criticism and can cause you hurt. There are times when you're doing everything right and everything's going well for you to be troubled in your heart. All we have to do is look at Job. You remember Job? You know Job. Everyone knows Job, don't you? He was a perfect man, upright. A man that feareth God and escheweth evil. Yet what happened? Job seen lost his family, his wealth, and his health, all in a short matter of time. Then, to top things off, to make things worse, the very people who should have been helping him, comforting him, and being there for him, did nothing but criticize him. His own wife told him, just curse God and die. His helpmeet, the one that should have been there with him. But remember, she was hurting just as well as he was. She had also lost her family. Job's friends, and I call them friends lightly because I don't know what kind of friends would come and tell you that all of your problems, all of your trials is because of you, Job. You've done something against God and you're facing the wrath of God because of what you've done. These losses are the outward scars of living in this temporary world. They can be seen by everyone around you. Imagine the pain that Job must have felt. But what hurt him worse was the words of his wife and his friends. Those are those hidden wounds that I talked about. Those things that are deep within your heart. Yes, things hurt Job just as much. But Job didn't let any of these things hinder his relationship with the Lord. We find Job worshiping the Lord even as he mourned the loss of his family. We find Job saying in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. How could Job say this after he experienced such great losses? The same way we can do it, through faith in the Lord. Trusting in him and him alone. See, he is the only one who can heal your hurts. It's said that along the coast in California, it's common to see whales stopping along the rocks there and rubbing against the rocks as they migrate from Alaska to Mexico. What they're doing is scraping off barnacles that have attached themselves to them. These barnacles, if left there on these whales, will sap the life right out of them. Said that because we also pick up barnacles in our lives. There are things that hurt us that attach themselves to us, and if we're not careful, they will sap the life right out of us. These barnacles, these hurts, must be scraped off. Job scraped his barnacles off. It was painful. But his belief in God was the medicine that healed his wounds. The scars remain, but the hurts were soothed so that Job could go on continuing to live for the Lord. Job's wife and friends couldn't ease his pains. All they did was make them worse. But God could. Job said in Job 42:2, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. I don't know what it is that has your heart troubled or if your heart is even troubled. But I know that everyone will go through trials. Everyone will have things that trouble them. And when you find yourself troubled and in a state of despair, wishing that you could just fly away to get away from all your troubles, then you need to scrape against the rocks, or the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this great rock in Scripture that we have here in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. If your heart is troubled this evening, there's help for you in this passage tonight, if you're able to receive it and believe it. So let's look closer at this passage while I preach for a little while on the only hope for a troubled heart. The only hope for a troubled heart. We find in the beginning of chapter 14, verse 1, that there's fears to escape. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I told you in our introduction what had taken place, why Jesus said these words. He said these words to his disciples because they were afraid. They'd heard some things they couldn't believe. They heard some things that troubled them. They had just observed the Passover. The Lord had just washed their feet and instituted the Lord's Supper. And then he dropped this bombshell on them, that they're spending the last days with him, that he's about to be gone and they can't go where he's going. Imagine how their hearts were broken, their confidence shattered. I'm sure that they were devastated by what they heard. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gotten some news that just left you devastated? It happens. We have be doing well, and all of a sudden get a phone call that a good friend has just gotten news that they're got stage 4 cancer. They're not going to be around much longer. It leaves you devastated. It hurts. As pastors, what hurts so much is to see church members go astray. It hurts. That's some of those hidden wounds, things that people don't see. They don't understand how encouraging it is for a pastor to see a church member sitting in their pew. They don't know how much he misses them when they're not there. But thank God we have this passage in John chapter 14. When times get tough, when your heart gets troubled, we can look to this passage and get hope and help. Let me share with you that some of the worst nightmares you ever face in your life, you will face them here in this world. If you're a child of God, this is going to be as bad as it gets. No matter what you face, heaven is your home. But if you're lost in your sins, if you're living without Christ, this is the only heaven you will know. Simple truth is, hard times are going to come. The Bible doesn't hide that from us. It tells us all throughout the Scriptures. In Job chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." I don't know any other way to be born than of a woman. Every person born in this world is born of a woman. That means every person in this world is going to have trouble. Their life is going to be full of trouble. Your heart might be troubled. But Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." No matter how bad things get, no matter how chaotic your life may seem, you can still have peace in the midst of your trials. But that peace is found in Christ. We have to trust in Him and lean on Him in those tough times. Yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations. Yes, there's going to be things that trouble our hearts. But Jesus is that rock that we need to grab hold of. He's our shelter from the storms of life. So when the next storm comes, run to Christ. Seek shelter in Him. He'll keep you safe. Jesus is the only hope for a troubled heart. Listen to what the Bible tells those with a troubled heart. Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Boy, I've seen some strong winds do amazing things. In fact, just recently there was a tornado in Mississippi, and I saw it on the news where there was a vehicle sitting in the top of a tree. Can I tell you the winds of adversity can do some amazing things? They can damage you, but they don't have to. If you'll cast your burdens upon the Lord, He'll sustain you. You will not be moved, no matter how strong the wind blows. In fact, Jesus invites us to come unto Him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, when you're troubled and burdened, look to the Lord. Call unto Him. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He is the answer. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Look, you don't have to worry yourself sick over whatever it is that is troubling you tonight. You have a promise from God in His Word that He will give you rest. In fact, God has not even given His children a spirit of fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So where does our fears come from? Our fears come from our enemies. And who are our enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That is where our fears come from. When you are feeling afraid, you need to realize where that fear is coming from, and it's not coming from the Lord. My pastor in Louisiana used to say that fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing real. Those things that you are so afraid of are not real. Yes, they may trouble you, but Christ can and will help you get through those tough times. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. By the way, this is that same Peter who denied the Lord three times. Listen to what he says. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Bring your fears to Jesus, and he'll replace your fear with his peace. He'll give you that peace which passeth all understanding. The best way to escape your fears is to run into the safe arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look on. There's faith to embrace. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." There's a word, believe. That's a life-changing word. It means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to have confidence in. It literally means to exercise faith in something or someone. In fact, this verse speaks of two different kinds of faith. It speaks of a sustaining faith. You believe in God. That's the kind of faith that gets you through your valleys. Trusting in the Lord. Leaning not into thine own understanding, as I told Ben earlier. We might not understand why these things are happening in our lives. I can't imagine Job understanding how he lost his children, how he lost his wealth, and how he lost his health. But he still trusted in God. Amen. You must believe that God exists and that he's in absolute control of all things. He's sovereign. There's not one thing that happens in your life that God did not allow to happen. God allows everything to happen in your life for a reason. He has a purpose. We might not understand it. We might not never understand it on this side of heaven. But we must believe that he is in control. When it comes to God, we can have faith in his power. Job did. He said, "I know that thou canst do everything and that there's no thought that can be withholden from thee." We can have faith in his plans, knowing that his plans are working for our good and his glory. We can have faith in his promises. I mentioned that his plans are for our good and his glory. Well, he promises us in Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." If you could ever learn to just trust God completely, no matter what it is you're going through, then you'll have the only hope that you need to loosen that grip that fear has on your heart. Soon as you get to that place in your life when you know that God is in total control, that he will do as he has promised, then you can be free from your worries. But you must trust in the Lord. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There's also saving faith. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. It isn't just enough to believe that there's a God. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That he died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe, also believe and tremble. That saving faith is a faith in the gospel, a faith in what Jesus has done so that we might be saved, a faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, and nothing else for your salvation. There's no saving faith in coming down here and shaking a preacher's hand. There's no saving faith in repeating a prayer. There's no saving faith in church membership or any other religious ritual like baptism. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll come by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and rest your future in his capable hands. You can be saved and rescued from whatever fears that you may have. There's a future to envision. Look at verses 2 through 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This future that I'm talking about includes a precious place, a place called heaven, a place, as the Bible says there, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you're a child of God, you need to remember, you're not home yet. You're just a passing through. This is not your home. Yes, there's trials and tribulations here on this earth, but they'll never follow you to heaven. As Paul says, our afflictions here are light, and just for a moment. If you're saved, you're just a pilgrim and a stranger. Here in this world, passing through enemy territory. And the best is yet to come. This place, this future that we need to envision tonight, includes a prepared place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Think about that for a moment. He's gone to prepare a place for you. Now, you realize that he created this world and everything in it in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. How long has he been preparing this place for us? Can you imagine how beautiful that must be? How glorious heaven will be. It took him 6 days to create this world and everything on it. Everything here. Kentucky's a beautiful state. North Carolina's a beautiful state. Louisiana's a beautiful state. There are beautiful places all over this world. You see God's work everywhere you look. And it's amazing and wonderful. He done it in 6 days. Not millions of years, but 6 days. He's been working on this prepared place for over 2,000 years. Can you imagine what it will be like? Not only that, what makes it really special is what the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. How glorious that will be. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more troubles. But I'll remind you that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Jesus said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that's another thing about the future that we can envision. Jesus says, I will come again. He didn't say I might come again. He said, I will come again. Every day we live here on this earth with one of the greatest promises the world has ever known. I will come again. But I'm afraid that we become a lot like the Jews. You see, the Jews heard for many years that the Messiah was coming. They had that promise that their promised Messiah was coming. They heard it year after year after year after year till it got to the point where they were a lot like a lot of people today. I've heard that all my life. And they got to where they didn't believe it. They didn't even recognize him when he came because they was no longer looking for him. I'm afraid that's where we're getting today. People are getting so comfortable in this world that they forget that this world is not our home. We have a home in heaven. One day Jesus is coming again. It may be before this service is over. Are you ready? Let me wrap up tonight by asking you a few questions. What are you afraid of? What is it that's troubling your heart this evening? Is it doubt over whether or not you're saved? The Bible says we can know for sure. First John chapter 5. I didn't have this marked because I didn't have this in my message. But I feel led to give it to you. I'll start reading in verse 10. It's actually down in verse 13, I believe, but Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God have the witness in himself. He that believeth not God have made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will give you that confidence that you're seeking. Seek Him if you're afraid. What are you trusting in to take you to heaven? Everybody believes in something. But has there ever been a moment in your life when you came to believe that Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? Are you trusting in the work he has done, or are you trusting in some work that you did? The only way you can get to heaven is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he has done, not anything else. My last question for you tonight is this. Are you able to get your eyes off of whatever it is that's troubling you and to place them on the Lord Jesus Christ? If the burdens of life have gotten you down, I invite you to humble yourself before the Lord. Set your eyes upon Him, because the only hope for a troubled heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Joe.